when it attempted to trespass for a second consecutive day on Friday, 24th of March 2023. Calling the US move an escalated provocation, Chinese experts say the People's Liberation Army should remain on high alert. Without authorization from the Chinese government, the U.S.-guided missile destroyer, the USS Milius, on Friday, 24th of March, illegally entered Chinese territorial waters off the Kishu Islands again, sabotaging the peace and stability in the South China Sea. Senior Colonel Tan Kefai, a spokesperson for China's Ministry of Defense, said in a press release on Friday, "The Chinese People's Liberation Army's Southern Theater Command tracked, monitored, and warned away the U.S. warship in accordance with the law," Tan Kefai said. "The U.S. military's move seriously violated China's sovereignty and security, severely infringing on international law, and is yet another piece of ironclad proof of U.S. navigational hegemony and militarization buildup in the South China Sea." Tan Kefai said, "We sternly demand that the U.S. side immediately stop this kind of provocative action, or it will bear the serious consequences caused by them," Tan Kefai said, noting that the Chinese People's Liberation Army will take all necessary measures to resolutely safeguard national sovereignty and security and firmly maintain peace and stability in the South China Sea. Friday's incident marks the second consecutive day the U.S. naval vessel was expelled from Chinese territorial waters. On Thursday, 23rd of March, the USS Milius was warned away by the Chinese People's Liberation Army, naval forces and air force when it made an illegal intrusion into the Chinese territorial waters off the Kishu Islands. Senior Colonel Tian Junli, a spokesperson at the PLA's Southern Theater Command, said in a press release on Thursday, 23rd of March. It also marks an upgrade in China's response, as Thursday's incident was dealt with by the Chinese People's Liberation Army's Southern Theater Command, and Friday's incident was announced by the Defense Ministry. It is rare for a U.S. warship to trespass into the same region of Chinese territorial waters twice in a short period of time, a Chinese military expert who requested anonymity told the Global Times. "This is an escalated provocation from the United States as it tries to deny China its sovereignty and stir up trouble in the South China Sea," the expert warned. "As a country from outside of this region, the United States does not want countries around the South China Sea to have any fruitful talks, as tensions in the region benefit the United States' plan of containing China, but harm all other countries' interests," the analyst said. Chinese military expert Song Zhongping also warned of U.S. threats from a tactical point of view. Song Zhongping told the Global Times that the U.S. close-in reconnaissance attempt could be a preparation for the U.S. military for a possible future conflict, so the People's Liberation Army must also be prepared. The Philippines has agreed to make 4 additional military bases available for United States' use, which could lead to increased U.S. reconnaissance activities on China, which the Chinese People's Liberation Army should take corresponding countermeasures, Song said. The website of Al Jazeera Television Network has also covered this story and tells us more. China's military says it tracked and warned away a United States warship that had illegally entered its territorial waters in the South China Sea. The U.S. Navy denied China's claims, stating that the ship was on routine operation and left the area of its own accord. In a statement on Thursday, 23rd of March, the Southern Theater Command of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, the PLA, said the USS Milius, a guided missile destroyer, intruded into waters around the disputed Paracel Islands, which the Chinese call Qixia Islands. The Chinese People's Liberation Army organized sea and air forces to track and monitor the ship in accordance with the law and warned it to leave the area, a spokesperson for the Southern Theater Command, Tian Junli, said. USS Milius made an illegal incursion into Chinese territorial waters without permission from the Chinese government, harming peace and stability in the region, Tian Junli added. The theater forces will maintain a high state of alert at all times and take all necessary measures to resolutely safeguard national sovereignty and security and peace and stability in the South China Sea, he said. Chinese media described the U.S. warship as having trespassed in Chinese territorial waters. The U.S. Navy on Thursday, 23rd of March, disputed the Chinese People's Liberation Army statement, saying their destroyer was conducting routine operations in the South China Sea and was not expelled by Chinese naval forces. The United States will continue to fly, sail and operate whenever international law allows, a statement from the U.S. Navy's 7th Fleet said. A tweet from the U.S. Navy's 7th Fleet made no mention of USS Milius's encounter with the Chinese naval forces. The U.S.-China tension has been growing in recent months as Washington seals agreements for military cooperation with Asian countries which are party to territorial disputes in the South China Sea. The Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia and Brunei have all overlapping claims in the South China Sea. The Reuters news agency has also covered this story. China's military said on Thursday, 23rd of March, it had monitored and driven away a U.S. destroyer that illegally entered waters around the Paracel Islands, which the Chinese call Qixia Islands, in the South China Sea. In a statement, the military said that the guided missile destroyer USS Milius intruded into China's territorial waters, undermining peace and stability in the busy waterway. The theater forces will maintain a high state of alert at all times and take all necessary measures to resolutely safeguard national sovereignty and security and peace and stability in the South China Sea, said Tian Junli, a spokesman for China's Southern Theater Command. The U.S. Navy on Thursday disputed the Chinese military statement, saying the destroyer is conducting routine operations in the South China Sea and was not expelled from the area. The United States will continue to fly, sail and operate wherever international law allows, a statement from the U.S. Navy's 7th Fleet said. Tensions between the United States and China has been growing in the area. The United States has been shoring up alliances in the Asia-Pacific region to counter China in the South China Sea and the Taiwan Strait, as Beijing seeks to advance its territorial claims.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pitch.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. This is Youth Station. I am Asma, and in here I have Bita with me.
And I'm Bita at your service. Again, Youth Station. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure is mine.
Okay, how are you doing?
It goes well, as usual.
That tells it all.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, you tell me, how's it going?
Well, the usual dramas.
Yeah,
life moves
your
on.
Eyes,
and
your eyes are talking to me.
Yeah. So, they say, if my mouth doesn't say it, my eyes will.
Yeah. And you're that kind of person.
Yeah. So, Bita, the usual thing about the holy month of Ramadan is that when you get close to it, or when you are just entering it,
yeah,
during those days and nights, you start thinking about yourself more and more. Whatever
yeah,
you have done up until now and what you're going to do in the future.
In the future, yeah.
And since we're talking to the youth, and of course we are included.
We are youth.
Yeah. So we would love to know more about how to improve ourselves.
Yeah.
How to be a better youth. How to be... Or let me just be more precise, a Muslim youth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a big difference between the person who has got responsibility and the one who doesn't have.
Yeah.
So,
I understand.
What do you think are the features of a good youth?
Yeah, it's a general question to answer,
course.
You know, who is good and who is bad. And, you know, the first question, I think, before these two questions is that who is the one who determines which is good and which is bad,
mm-hmm.
you know? But
who is the
frank,
one?
Right now I am the one. I'm kidding.
No, of course
you
know.
We have some set rules and, I don't know, we have the Holy Quran and
exactly,
religion
yeah.
and so on. And we're not going to talk about that. So let's go for the features.
So
that,
you know what
yeah.
I usually think yeah. of? When we go through novels and stories
mm-hmm.
and then they start talking about the bad guy and the good guy. And I always say the same thing. I say, who says
That's,
who is
yeah,
the
exactly.
good and who is the bad? And then... there's this quote that was at the end of one of the novels, which is very beautiful, and it said, who can say who is good in the eyes of God and who is not?
Nice.
You know? Then
yeah.
that becomes so detailed. But the thing has been cleared to us through the Holy Book of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam and the narrations that has been
yeah.
passed down to us.
You know, it is always like that. You feel like some sympathy with the people who are relaying.
Yeah.
You know, because they have something in common with you. They are human beings and they make mistakes and they are...
They're
they
real,
make you,
you know?
They're real, exactly.
They're more real. Because we all are prone to anger. We all are prone to
yeah.
lying.
Yeah, exactly.
We might, at some occasions, turn out to be cruel people.
Yeah.
So... that's why we have sympathies with them. But right now, let's just come back to our
yeah,
youth.
Yeah, I do agree. So I think there are many factors
mm-hmm.
to determine who is good and who is not. But one of the most important key points here is communication, I think. You know, as
okay.
a youth, especially Muslim youth,
mm-hmm.
you have to know how to communicate. We may see many educated people in society that they are, I don't know, from a high status in social groups and ethnicity,
yeah.
but they don't know how to communicate with other people. This is a problem. Because if you are a good person, you have to show other people that you are a good person. And at the next level, you have to persuade them to be good. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it needs a good communication. I don't want anyone to try to be the expert in these communications, but we have to try our best.
Yeah. You know?
And I don't know whether you are a good communicator or not, but I think I have a lot to do.
Well, you know, I guess we have to elaborate on that more and more. As in general way of saying it, the way you put it, it means that I must be in good relationship with others. Do you mean that?
Yeah, somehow, exactly.
So, well, there might be right now, there might be some youth out there who are listening to us.
Yeah.
And they would say, okay, why do I have to have relationship with others?
I told you, you know, because if you have to show your individuality, your personality to other people.
You mean that we must have a good impact on others.
Exactly.
So in that way, well, as far as, you know, I could have some peace with them, yes, it's okay. But I guess I'm not that extrovert to have too much of relationships.
No, I'm not telling you to make new friendship with other people.
But having a logical relationship and, you know, putting things on a scale, yes, I guess I do try my best. I don't know how successful I have been.
But, you know, it's not about having a lot of people in your, group of social communication.
In your vicinity.
It's about the quality, not quantity.
Of course.
Yeah. So let's go for a short break.
Of course.
And then we're going to come back here.
Yeah. So, dear youth, we are talking about you. This is Youth Station. Okay, Bital.
Yeah.
You mentioned the first point, which was having a good relationship, being in good terms with people.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's the gist. And then, to me, I guess, to be productive, to study too much of books, to educate yourself, to be so knowledgeable, to be so in touch with the new, you know, with the new knowledge that goes round and round throughout the world, it's the best thing for Muslim youth because that would help them develop their society. And then if the society develops, your country would develop. And then in that way, totally all the people around you are going to benefit.
Yeah.
So educating yourself means that you're going to be a better person. You're going to, you know, be at peace with yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be productive all in all. That's all I mean.
I understand you. This productivity is something that really matters, especially in youth generation, because we're the generation who's going to build the future of this country, of the society, of the world, you know.
Yeah.
And so we are so important. But you have to, I don't know, be more, a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
We're youth generation. And this youth generation doesn't want to spend time on these sort of things.
You know, that's the next point I want to mention.
Yeah, I'm
all weird. Stop being lazy.
Thank you.
I say it to myself, you know, because I think I'm a lazy person. I usually say if I was not lazy, I would have done too much more of things.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, not to being lazy needs a kind of a strong passion. You have
motivation,
to be passionate. Motivation.
You need a driving force. And I guess that must come from the up above, you know?
Thank you. But, you know, I think you have to find it around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the closer your inspiration is to you, the more you're inspired to do something, the more passionate you are.
Yeah, but sometimes it's very difficult to find it around you.
Yeah, it is difficult. I'm not telling you that it's not difficult.
And some people are not very good in keeping track of these driving forces. You know, I cannot wake up every morning and tell myself that you're strong, you can do this, you're going to accomplish many things.
No.
Me knowing all the experiences that
the
I
same
had
way for
and
me.
All the things that I've seen and the road that I've been through. So I don't think that would work for all the people.
No, it won't work for most of the people, I think. You know, I think sometimes there should be some obligations. For example,
this is another point.
Yeah,
put obligations
put
for
obligation.
Yourself.
Exactly. I think it will help you to find yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you shouldn't be that free to think.
Exactly.
Or
exactly,
overthink.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. You know, another thing which I think is really important here is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking only about self-confidence, but self-confidence is a kind of major thing that we have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we lack it so much, especially in youth generation.
And some people have it too much.
I know it. There
Both
is no balance
going
here.
To kill, yeah. Yeah.
And I think the people who have it more than usual are so unnerved. And annoying.
Of course, yeah. So try to have balance as well.
Yeah. This balance is so important, and this belief in your abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to believe ourselves. You know, stop being lazy or, I don't know, pursue whatever you want to do, being ambitious and so on, I think, has only one key. In this case, the belief in yourself.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I told you. That driving force must come from disguise. There must be a deep connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is going to help you so much throughout the way. You know, as living, breathing beings, every day is a new turn in our life, and no one knows what is going to happen. Because of this, there might be some situations in which we lose our temper, we might be so sad, we might even cross the road of depression. So going through all of these things, if you don't have that trust and belief in Allah, you're not going to I guess, be successful.
You know what? It's like it is like life is not easy.
Of
there
course.
Are difficulties, ups and downs, and so on. But the problem, I think, at that time is that the speed of these changes is so high that they cannot reach them.
Exactly.
And this modern world, you have to find a kind of source of peace.
Yeah, and all the problems comes with the modern world.
Yeah, exactly. Technology.
Technology
is a problem because, I don't know.
That laziness we talked about, one of the reasons
from,
for that is just this technology.
I do agree.
And right now, just, I guess we have to go for a break.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah.
Time flies.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We're still on Youth Station, and this is the Finalmon. Yeah, and we're talking about you, all the youth out there.
Yeah, if you're talking about us. I do agree.
And we've mentioned pretty much a point out there.
Yeah.
Stop procrastinating things. Don't be lazy. If you have something in your mind, go for it.
Yeah, stop delaying and postponing whatever you're
gonna do. And if you think you lack confidence, you have to develop that in yourself and try to grasp more and more of it, because then it's going to work like an energy that comes from your inside, and then that would help you flourish your future.
And there is something left. Patience.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we forget that. We have to be patient sometimes. Sometimes you do your best, you run. I don't know, you kill yourself to achieve something, but you can't. And this time, there is something like hikmat and wisdom of God. You have to wait.
Yes, we
there
have
is a gift
to wait,
here.
But we shouldn't.
I'm not talking about that.
There
stop
must
doing
not
something.
Be, I wanted to mention that. There mustn't be this misunderstanding about being patient
and not doing
and
something,
putting things off.
This is laziness.
Forgetting about them.
Yeah.
You know? Because sometimes in some situations when things get difficult, you stop doing anything just because you say to yourself, okay, I'm being patient. No, this is not being patient. This is not taking any action.
This is exactly like that, because we are searching for a way to run away from all the obstacles, all the problems, and patience is a good excuse.
Yeah. Patience, I guess, means you do your best and then leave the rest to God.
Yeah,
that is patience.
Yeah, and the trust you have in God here in this path is so important.
Does have a great role.
It has.
Yeah.
And I think we have to work on ourselves, me, myself.
More and more, yes.
Yeah, I have a lot to do.
Whatever we say in here, we say it to ourselves at first.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we know youth do not like advice.
Yeah.
The worst advice
I don't like it
advice.
Myself. I'm from the group that I'm so against advisors. Mm. You know, I think I have to experience everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter what the consequences. Well. I will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to add it right now, but we have to say bye.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is just the ending point. It was so pleasurable to be here with you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session from me and Bita, yeah. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The US and Canada have struck a new agreement that will allow them to divert some asylum seekers amid a surge in entries at the northern border. The deal closes a legal loophole that allowed migrants traveling from the U.S. to Canada to apply for asylum if they used unofficial crossings and vice versa. Meanwhile, rights groups in Canada have previously challenged the legality of the STCA in the courts on several occasions, arguing that it violates refugees' rights and freedoms. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, the US and Canada have announced an immigration plan that will change the way they take in asylum seekers. While Ottawa vowed to accept 15,000 additional migrants, the deal allows both countries to reject those who arrive at unofficial border crossings. U.S. President Joe Biden unveiled the new agreement alongside Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, recently claiming it would bring more fairness to the immigration process. He said during a visit to Canada, commending Trudeau for opening new legal pathways for up to 15,000 migrants to come to Canada from countries in the Western Hemisphere, we're also making good on our commitment to address the historic levels of migration in our hemisphere. While asylum seekers could previously file their claims at any legal port of entry in Canada, a 2004 pact between Washington and Ottawa required them to do so at the first country in which they arrive after leaving home. However, in the years since, tens of thousands of migrants have claimed asylum at informal crossings in Canada, apparently hoping to get around the rules. Nearly 40,000 people entered Canada through unofficial border points bordering New York State last year alone. Under the new agreement, Ottawa will be permitted to reject asylum claims at such irregular ports, effectively extending the 2004 deal to cover the entire 5,500-mile U.S.-Canada border, not only legal points of entry. Dubbed the Safe Third Country Agreement, the 2004 arrangement previously came under fire from immigration advocates who said it encouraged asylum seekers to risk longer, more dangerous trips to reach regular border points. In hailing Trudeau for agreeing to accept 15,000 new migrants when the deal takes effect, Biden accidentally paid tribute to China instead, drawing an uproar of laughter from a crowd of Canadian lawmakers. He said, "Today I applaud China for stepping up. Excuse me, I applaud Canada." Quickly adding, "You can't tell what I'm thinking about China. Won't get into that yet." The U.S. has also faced a major wave of illegal immigration in recent years, with border officials reporting nearly 2.4 million encounters with undocumented migrants just in 2022, the vast majority coming from Central and South America. According to Axios, the announcement came during Biden's first official trip to Canada, where he met with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. It amends the Safe Third Country Agreement, which was first signed in 2002 and has been in effect since 2004. The agreement was meant to make asylum seekers apply in first safe country they reached, but the previous version only allowed each country to turn back asylum seekers who entered at official ports of entry. The changes take effect at midnight of that day. Trudeau pressed the U.S. to update the agreement after a spike in migrants entering Canada through unofficial crossings, particularly along the border between Quebec and New York, CBC reports. Canada announced that it will welcome 15,000 migrants on a humanitarian basis from the Western Hemisphere over the course of the year, with a path to economic opportunities to address forced displacement as an alternative to irregular migration, as per a press release from the Prime Minister's office. When asked why the two countries delayed implementing the new rules which were developed last year, Trudeau said they wanted to protect the integrity of the system and continue to protect and live up to our obligations with regards to asylum seekers. "But we also continue to be open to regular migrants," Trudeau said in French, noting that increasing the number of asylum seekers Canada accepts is meant to compensate for closing these irregular crossings. The White House said in a release that irregular migration is a critical issue for the Western Hemisphere, and the U.S. and Canada are working to prioritize orderly and safe migration through regular pathways. The PMO echoed the rhetoric, saying the deal will ensure fairness and more orderly crossings. Some are warning of the dangers that could result from the new agreement. "It might deter some people, but others will still come and they will seek out more remote, isolated and dangerous routes," tweeted Regina Bateson, assistant professor of public and international affairs at the University of Ottawa. The Biden administration has in recent weeks announced several new policies to deter migrants and asylum seekers from illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Administration officials have lauded the new policies as a success. Migrants and asylum seekers attempt to cross the U.S.-Mexico border 156,000 times in January, a 40% drop from December. But Biden faced backlash last month from immigration advocates over a proposal that would bar migrants from seeking asylum if they attempt to cross the southwest border illegally without first asking for protection in a country they traveled through. He also drew condemnation for considering once again detaining families that illegally cross into the U.S. Meanwhile, rights groups in Canada have previously challenged the legality of the STCA in the courts on several occasions, arguing that it violates the refugees' rights and freedoms. Advocates hope that a case before Canada's Supreme Court will deem the policy unconstitutional after appeals courts twice upheld it.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, refraining from jealousy in the month of Ramadan. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Hello, dear listeners. Salaamu Alaikum. I'm Farhad, your host, and I hope you are doing well. These days are great days, and I wish we can make an excellent use of them. Okay, as promised, we're going to learn another moral conditions of acceptance of our fasting in this great month, the month of Ramadan. So, let's go to talk about this very important moral condition. The fourth moral condition is to refrain from jealousy. So before going to describe the meaning of jealousy in Islamic terminology, I would like to mention a point, and that is jealousy in Islamic terminology, in Islamic culture, has got a different meaning what we have it in Western cultures. So I'm not going to point the meaning of jealousy in Western cultures. So we're going directly to understand the meaning of jealousy in Islamic terminology, in Islamic faith and Islamic culture. So we can, by referring to the Quran and by referring to our narrations, we understand that a jealous person is one who cannot bear a blessing that someone else has and always wants that blessing to be taken away from him. It is mentioned in our hadith that a jealousy destroys faith in the human heart like a fire burning wood. This is because this jealousy can be considered as one of the main factors that kills obedience in human's heart. Jealousy also has been introduced in our narrations as the root of unbelief. So we must be aware of it and guard against it by praying for the one who possess what we want to have and one thing for others, what we want for ourselves. So these two main points are the ways of practicing refraining from jealousy. So the first one is to guard against it, to guard against jealousy. What the first one? By praying for the one who possess what we want to have. And also wanting, it's very important as well, wanting for others what we want for ourselves.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to A to Z in Islamic Lifestyle. I'm Farhad. Thank you for staying with us. Okay, we were talking about jealousy, the fourth moral conditions of acceptance of our praying. We talked about the description of jealousy in Islamic terminology, so we're going to understand its types. So, in description of jealousy, we said that a jealous person is the one who cannot tolerate the blessing that someone else has and always try and always pray and always want that blessing to be taken from him. okay? But there is a point. We must remember that jealousy, or better to say envy, is not haram in one case. It's not haram when it means desiring to receive a blessing that another has, but not desiring to destroy that blessing from him, and always asking God not to take that blessing from him. In this case, jealousy is not haram. The haram jealousy, the forbidden jealousy, is the one that we cannot tolerate the blessing that someone else has, and always pray and always we intend that blessing to be taken from him. But if we remember and if we desire that blessing for ourselves while we are not practicing, while we are not trying, while we are not intending that blessing to be taken from the person who possesses blessing, this blessing is not haram. And also, such a jealousy is indeed the force that drives us to acquire moral goods. So it is good to see the blessings that others enjoy and ask God to bless us as well. So I hope God to guard us against evil deeds and gives us tawfiq of practicing moral goods. Thank you for being with us. I wish you the best, and I hope me, myself, and you as well, my brothers and sisters, to make an excellent use of this great opportunity, this great month, the month of Ramadan. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Forgive me for everything I've done in the past, when everything was going so fast, and now I just can't go on.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir. Our email is english@irib.ir.
But I know that you are really loving, you are really caring. I can't realize, but you know that I will be better, that I will be stronger. You are by my side, Allah.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Council of Europe has recently slammed excessive use of force by French police in demonstrations against the controversial pension reform. Violent incidents, some of which have targeted law enforcement agencies, cannot justify the excessive use of force by state authorities, said its Commissioner for Human Rights, Dunja Mijatovic. Nor are these acts sufficient to deprive peaceful protesters to use their right of freedom of assembly, she added. Mijatovic called on French authorities to respect the right to demonstrate and protect protesters as well as journalists following the demonstrations. France has been facing non-stop demonstrations since Emmanuel Macron and Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne's decision to invoke Article 49.3 of the Constitution a mechanism that lets the government adopt a draft bill without parliamentary approval to push through the pension overhaul legislation. The reform includes raising the retirement age from 62 to 64 by 2030, requiring at least 43 years of work to be eligible for a full pension. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote in this regard, the French government has used disproportionate force against demonstrators protesting the pension reform in violation of their freedom of assembly and expression. Council of Europe Commissioner for Human Rights, Dunja Mijatovic, said recently. Mijatovic described the circumstances of the pension protest as concerning, adding that the sporadic acts of violence by some demonstrators or other reprehensible acts committed by others during a demonstration cannot justify the excessive use of force by state agents. While some violent incidents have taken place, including against police, they are not sufficient to deprive peaceful demonstrations from enjoying the right of freedom of assembly, she said, adding that the French authorities have an obligation to protect peaceful protesters and journalists from both police and violence and fringe demonstrators. While a state may have the authority to use force, in particular to restore order, such use must only take place as a last resort and in strict compliance with the conditions of necessity and proportionality, said the commissioner, adding violence, wherever it comes from, can in no way be used as a means of resolving a social or political crisis. Mijatovic called on President Emmanuel Macron's government to abide by the Commission's recommendations from 2019 pertaining to the Yellow Vest protest, as well as those issued by the French Human Rights Commission earlier this week. France's National Consultative Commission on Human Rights, CNCDH, said recently that during the week-long protest, police had kettled peaceful demonstrators and summarily arrested them without cause. The fact that only 9 of the 292 people arrested in Paris on March 16th were charged with any offenses suggests excessive use of police custody as a way of chilling legitimate protest, the CNCDH said. Protests against pension reform drew more than a million people across France. By passing the legislature, Macron had used executive privilege to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Though trade unions and opposition parties denounced the measure, Macron has refused to budge. Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin said recently that almost 450 police officers and gendarmes had been injured, and that the protesters lit over 900 fires on the streets. He blamed extreme left groups and Black Bloc anarchists for the violence. Meanwhile, Daily Sabah reported human rights watchdogs, including the Council of Europe, criticized French police for using excessive force during protests against Emmanuel Macron's pension reform. French authorities arrested more than 450 people in the most violent day of demonstrations since the start of the year against the bill to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. In the days leading up to the protest, rights groups groups had expressed worries over arbitrary detentions and the excessive use of force by French police. But security officials have defended their actions, saying they are responding to violent rioters and anarchist groups who they claim frequently infiltrate French demonstrations to provoke clashes. France's Human Rights League has accused the authorities of undermining the right of citizens to protest by making disproportionate and dangerous use of public force. The authoritarian shift of the French state, the brutalization of social relations through its police, violence of all kinds of impunity are a major scandal, the League's president Patrick Baudouin said recently. Rights groups have raised concerns over the repeated use of force by French police, especially police of kettling, also called trap and detain in the United States, a crowd control tactic consisting of cordoning off protesters in a small area. They have sounded the alarm after reports from recent protests of French police detaining foreign school children, firing tear gas at kettled protesters, and even hurting a man so badly he had to have some parts of his body amputated.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Here is a part of the speech delivered on March 21, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of Nowruz. Today, I will primarily discuss economic matters. Last night as well, I delivered the New Year's message and I mentioned the slogan of the year. Today, I will explain this further. Of course, there are other matters that I will discuss, God willing, if there is any time left. The reason why I want to discuss economic matters on the first day of the year is the importance of the issue of the economy. If the country truly achieves economic growth based on justice, all other areas of the progress will be activated as well, and the country will make true progress. In other words, the economy plays such a pivotal role. Secondly, in the past decade, in the 1390s, we were faced with a multitude of economic challenges. Well, we should resolve these challenges. We should think, act, and move correctly on the issue of the economy so that the means of comfort will be provided for the nation, God willing. This is why I wish to discuss economic matters.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
National production is the main issue for the officials of the country. The main point in the economy is national production, which I discussed in brief last night. In the past 3-4 years, I have always highlighted production in the slogan of the year. Of course, administrations and officials carried out certain tasks in this regard within the scope of their capabilities and powers. Considering global circumstances, they did whatever they could and made certain efforts. But in my opinion, at the present time, our main issue, the main issue for the executive officials of the country and for those who are involved in the management of the country, is the economy. There are certain new outlooks that are encouraging. If these popular outlooks and this presence continues in a satisfactory way, this will be encouraging and there will be more reasons to be hopeful. There is one point here, and that is my discussions and demands are primarily addressed to the officials of the country, primarily the executive branch and to some extent the legislative branch and even the judiciary branch and some affiliated organizations. These discussions are primarily addressed to them. Why do I discuss these matters that are related to them in the public environment, in my public speeches with the people? The reason is that it will be good for the people to become aware of economic matters and policies in the public environment, to know about my demands, and to support and back up the officials who act on these recommendations.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
A sentiment echoed by other anti-apartheid campaigners here. Among them, the International Center of Justice for Palestinians, who've called on the British government to refer Israel and Netanyahu to the International Court of Justice for war crimes in Palestine.
The protesters here are saying that the UK government's welcoming of Netanyahu is a mark of approval of his right-wing government, that it provides the Israeli regime with further cover to steal more Palestinian territory and to continue with its campaign of ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people.
Earlier this week, the UK and Israel signed a so-called 2030 roadmap for UK-Israel relations, strengthening bilateral ties with the regime whose finance minister denies the existence of a Palestinian people.
This is an extreme right-wing government itself. So this is, you know, one proto-fascist government supporting a proper fascist government. So I don't feel that this government is ever representing me on other issues as well. But that they are supporting such an excessive, extreme right-wing government in Israel is a shame for all of us.
But while all eyes are on the intensified Israeli violence against Palestinians, others are highlighting another important reason that's dragged an embattled Netanyahu to Europe. His trip comes in the wake of the recent Chinese-brokered rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Netanyahu could be here to gauge European government's position on Iran. From London, the Israeli PM will be flying to Berlin, Germany, where he's expected to be greeted with similar protests. Saeed Pereza, London. A day after a surprise jump in inflation, an expected rise in the Bank of England's interest rate from 4% to 4.25, the 11th increase in less than 2 years.
The Bank of England argues the increase in the interest rate is aimed at reducing inflation. That's amongst the highest levels since 1982. On the other hand, there are some economists who are saying it'll inevitably increase the pressure on many Britons, already being squeezed by the cost of living crisis.
That's because a higher interest rate means a higher cost of borrowing.
It's going to affect people with mortgages, and it's going to affect companies with debt, and there's a lot of companies with a lot of debt.
Today's interest hike comes against the backdrop of this pledge by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in January.
We will halve inflation this year to ease the cost of living and give people financial security.
That is yet to happen. Some economists say some of the inflation rise can be blamed on potentially one-off factors, such as vegetable shortages caused by extreme weather in Spain and North Africa, and British producers not producing for fear of massive energy bills. Others say there are other underlying reasons. The Bank of England was the first to increase interest rates, but not the only one. EU and US central banks have also raised borrowing costs, with the American